Hello, welcome from Brian. I've probably just irritated you by playing only the introduction to one of the most famous pieces of music ever. This introduction is designed to cause anticipation of the waltz that follows, and it certainly does that. Please bear with me and I will explain to you a little later on how it does that. Coming back to our major scale of last week, you might recall that I previously called the fifth note of that scale the dominant, because of its importance to the scale. I also mentioned that if I play the first and fifth notes together and add the note in the middle, I have another very important structure called a major chord. In C major, this would be the starting key note C, the dominant G, with E in the middle. This middle note is referred to as the mediant, the word median meaning in the middle. So the chord of C major is C as the keynote, E as the mediant, and G as the dominant. We also encountered the chord of G major in the first episode, but I only mentioned it. It starts on G, then we add its dominant, meaning the note five steps higher, which is D, and then its mediant, the note in the middle, which is B. So G plus B plus D. This chord has more than one use. It can be either the home key chord of the scale of G major, or the dominant chord of the scale of C major. It also has another three uses, but I'll tell you about those another time. Please reflect on the piece by Haydn that we heard several times in the last two episodes. That piece uses almost exclusively these two chords, C and G. Please go back and listen again if you can't remember it. Now I want us to go back to our C major scale, and this time we're going to count five notes going down the scale. Do you remember the melody of Joy to the World? C, B, A, G, F. That is on the word the, joy to the world, the. This is the note. The fifth note going up the scale was the dominant, and the fifth note going down the scale is the subdominant. The word sub means below. For example, subway, submerge, submarine, submissive, subconscious. So the dominant below the keynote is called the subdominant. If we play the keynote and the subdominant and add the middle note, which will now be the submediant, we now have another very important chord, the subdominant chord. In C major, this is the note F plus the note A plus the note C. It's commonly called the chord of F major. This chord can be either the subdominant chord of C major or the keynote chord of F major, but we haven't got to that scale yet. And this chord also has three other uses. It's important to note that every chord has multiple uses across the music spectrum. Continuing in C major, we now know the three most important chords, and these three chords have used up all the notes of the scale. So let's listen once again only to the opening of Mozart's C major piano sonata that we heard 2 weeks ago. In the first four measures, all the notes of the C major scale are present, and all three of the chords I just mentioned as well. The first three melody notes are the C chord. The next note and the two quick notes are the G chord. The last long note of the four phrase is the C chord. Then we get to the answering phrase, which starts on the F chord, followed by C, then G, then C. Just for the sake of revision of another concept, let's go up to the first big point of arrival. This is a very clear point that the music arrives at. The music comes to a brief resting point, so it's difficult to miss. Do you recall that I said last week that this feature will reappear in nearly everything that we will listen to under these names? Sonata, symphony, concerto, quartet, quintet, octet, variation, and a whole lot more. Using the three primary chords in any key, it's possible to write any amount of music. In fact, a lot of popular songs use only three chords. But let's listen to some music from the classical repertoire as examples. My first complete piece for today is Weber's Variations, Servienka Dorina Bella, Come Here Beautiful Dorina, a song by Francesco Bianchi. The opening theme is exclusively the three primary chords of C major, which are C, F, and G. Try to fix in your mind what these sound like. I'm going to play this opening twice so that you have the sound clearly in your mind. A contrasting middle section is in G major. You will easily spot this modulation to the dominant and the return to the home key. Each variation follows the pattern of the chords, but the notes are far more filled out. See if you can spot the basic C, F, and G chords under all the ornamentation, just like we followed the theme and chords in the Haydn variations a few weeks ago. Don't be in too much of a rush to find the variations. The theme is 2 minutes long, and then the variations are also each 2 minutes long. So here's the first playthrough of the theme. Now we take a word from our sponsors. It's time to break from the music and hear from the companies that make this show possible. Thanks for listening to the ads and jingles. I hope they added a little bit of fun to your day. Stay tuned for more great music, which we continue with now on About Music. Now here is the second playthrough followed by the variations. Thank you. Next up, I have Mozart's Symphony No. 44, the second movement. The opening measures stick exclusively to the three primary chords, and then a modulation to the dominant follows. See if you can spot this. Mozart does not immediately return to the home key. He delays for quite a long time. Throughout this movement, Mozart alternates more adventurous harmonies with a basic three-chord structure. The end of the piece is a typical ending with all three chords present.
Thank you.
So music using only the three primary chords tends to be very much like painting with only the three primary colors. Lots can be achieved, but to become really interesting, more is going to be needed. If we take a major scale starting on any other key note, once we have worked out the notes of the scale, we can work out the three most important chords for that scale. Do you remember how we worked out whole steps and half steps? The sequence in the major scale was whole step, whole step, half step, whole step, whole step, whole step, half step. By this process, using the scale of G major that we worked out in our last episode, we got G, a whole step up to A whole step up to B, a half step up to C, a whole step up to D, a whole step up to E, a whole step up to F sharp, and a half step up to G. And from that we can now work out that the notes G plus B plus D are the G major home key chord. Then we have the dominant chord of G major. That's going to start five notes above G on the D. So if we go five notes higher than the D, we come to A. That's the outer notes of the chord. And the middle note will be F sharp. So D plus F sharp plus A is called the D major chord, which is the dominant chord of G major. If we go five notes downwards from G, we find its subdominant is C, and of course we already know that chord, C plus E plus G. Do you think that for homework you could work out the F major scale and its three important chords? Please give it a try and I'll explain it in the next episode. But here is a little hint for you. That black key between A and B is called B flat. Just for information, in popular music and jazz, a capital letter written above or below a melody means a major chord starting on the note indicated with the capital letter. Classical musicians use the terminology tonic for the key note, subdominant, and dominant, or they use Roman numerals to indicate the note of the scale where the chord is, 1 for the first note, 4 for the fourth note, or 5 for the fifth note of the scale. Popular music and jazz shorthand notation does not try to relate the chord to the scale. It's simply a chord in no particular context. Please don't become confused. Scales and chords can both be referred to as major. But whereas major scales have 7 notes, major chords have only 3 notes. Here is another little piece of homework for you. What are the advantages or disadvantages of writing simply a letter for a chord as opposed to seeing the chord as part of a scale? We're going to talk about that next week again. The very famous Schubert Impromptu in A flat is our next piece. This piece opens in a minor key. It has 2 descending harp-like passages, then 6 chords, and that formula is repeated 4 times. The fourth time is extended to 12 chords, and these build anticipation using a dominant chord. Then we come to the part I really want you to listen to and take note of, a very long section in a major key that uses nearly exclusively the 3 basic chords of the key. Then we have a contrasting section, and then a complete repeat of the first part. Thank you. Did you notice how every time Schubert wants to anticipate something, he uses a dominant chord? Also, as I said earlier, primary color music tends to become a bit sugary sweet, so the two extensive passages in the major key need those minor keys to provide a welcome contrast. Now, here at last is the famous On the Beautiful Blue Danube, a waltz by Johann Strauss Jr. Here is a very different use of the primary colors palette. The waltz, typical of its time, is a selection of five or more individual dances played as one piece, with a long introduction sometimes previewing the pieces to come, and then ending with highlights from the tunes heard. There is a long introduction which you already heard in the dominant key. As I mentioned earlier when we heard it, the function of the dominant is to create strong anticipation of the arrival of the home key. Did you experience this? Following the introduction, we now go into Waltz 1 in the home key. I'm not going to name the keys to avoid confusion. The second half of the first waltz is in the dominant key. Waltz 2 is in the home key with a section in an unrelated key. Waltz 3 is in the subdominant key. Waltz 4 is in an unrelated key. Waltz 5 is in the dominant key, which then creates anticipation for the ending, which is also called the coda, which is principally in the home key. In addition to using the primary color keys for the overall structure of the set of waltzes, each individual dance uses mostly the primary color chords. Pay attention to how these make the music so easy to listen to and memorable. After all, dancers don't want complicated stuff for dancing. It's preferable to have easy to follow music that's easy to remember and with a clear beat.
Thank you. Thank you.
do realize that while we started off with easy to understand concepts in the first five episodes, the material since episode 6 has become complicated. And as I cannot keep repeating it in a radio broadcast, you could be having difficulty following all the explanations. Please write down this web address, where you will find all of the information for past and future episodes in more detail and with examples. https://aboutmusicasoneword.2020b2b.co.za/. Let me repeat that. https://aboutmusic.2020b4brian2b4brian.co.za/. Please remember that about music is one word. I will also be adding additional video material through my YouTube channel, and links to these will be found in the web pages as I create the videos. As usual, this episode will be loaded on gsaradio.stream as a podcast, along with the past 8 episodes. If you have any questions or comments, you are welcome to write to me at brian@gsaradio.stream. Well, Grams, we've come a long way in your listening journey, but there's still so much more to discover. So please come back next week and the following weeks. It will give me great pleasure to introduce you to so much more. Goodbye for this week.